All right.
Oh, sorry. Hang on just one second. Sorry. The live stream is still processing. Hang on just one second. Okay.
All right, good afternoon and welcome board members and all of those guests who are joining us both for this virtual meeting, as well as those following in the audience on our live stream. So thank you so much. Today is Thursday, March the 25th, 2021. It is 1 p.m. And Ms. Cheadle, we'll start with a roll call, please.
Estella Hernandez.
Here.
Kalisha Williams Bradley.
Present.
Bill Flanagan.
Here.
Ryan Bobeck.
Here.
Jennifer Munnies.
Here.
Trent Smith.
Here.
Superintendent Hoffmeister.
Here. All right, thank you. And do we have a quorum?
Yes, we do.
And did we properly post in compliance with the Open Meetings Act?
Yes, we did.
All right, very good, board members. We will begin here just a moment with some opening comments. And we first have one moment. I apologize. My apologies. All right. Well, I want to first draw your attention to someone very special in the State Department of Education, and her name is Alyssa Griggs. And I believe Alyssa is even with us. And Alyssa, if you want to turn your camera on while we go ahead and just share a little bit about why Alyssa Griggs was recommended and then became our Employee of the Month. She's the Assistant Executive Director of Accountability. And Alyssa began her work at the State Department of Education in December 2017 as a specialist in the Office of Assessment. She has been promoted several times. Alyssa has served as the Senior Data Analysis and Data Management Director in Accountability. And her most recent promotion was in August to her current position of Assistant Executive Director of Accountability. Now, Alyssa's nominator said she masterfully oversees all data-related and technical aspects of Oklahoma's accountability system. She serves as our office point person for data assistance, and she provides school leaders with timely, helpful, and thorough responses. During her tenure at OSDE, Alyssa has established great rapport with many school districts by providing efficient support to schools, and by collaborating with other internal areas. Alyssa allows our office to fulfill OSDE's mission of providing Oklahomans with meaningful and actionable data. Simply, she is an outstanding technical and project manager who brings tremendous value to the agency and its stakeholders. What a nice thing to have said about you, Alyssa. We are grateful to have you and grateful for the work that you bring to the team. So thank you so much, and it's great to honor you today. And do you have, let's see, I'm trying to find you on my screen. Maybe
I'm here.
Okay. There's a lot of people on our view right now. So, Alyssa, do you have anything you would like to say or address the board?
I just want to thank you and thank everyone. So I feel very, very appreciated. So the work that we do in the Office of Accountability, you know, we ensure that the data that we report is accurate and actionable. It can be hard work, but, you know, seeing that this data is being used to lead to better discussion and data-driven decisions that will help the schools. It's very, very fulfilling. So I'm glad to be a part of being here and doing the work that we do. So thank you.
Oh, thank you so much. We are so grateful for you. Now, we have someone else really, really special. On March the 4th, Jessica Eschbach was named the 2021 Teacher of the Year. She is an innovative learning coach from Norman Public Schools. The honor comes with a $10,000 cash prize, including a van full of Girl Scout cookies for her and her colleagues, and the use of a car for a year to tour the state as Oklahoma's next Teacher of the Year ambassador. And in addition, it also comes with the ability to take a sabbatical year and serve at the State Department of Education. And then the State Department of Ed helps then to provide a replacement for her in her district during that year of sabbatical leave. And we are just grateful for all of the work. Some of you were involved in helping with her ultimate selection. And I would love for you to see this really short video with highlights, and you'll see what makes Jessica so special.
It is truly my pleasure to represent Norman Public Schools in introducing the Oklahoma State Teacher of the Year, Miss Jessica Eschbach.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Okay.
My biggest passion is equity. When I was working as a librarian at Kennedy Elementary here in Norman, what I saw a lot of were kids that just did not have the same opportunities outside of school because of family circumstances or, you know, financial difficulties. And what I really brought to that position was making these experiences happen for kids where it wouldn't normally happen. So what I really want is to examine what the pandemic has shown us in terms of inequities for all students in Oklahoma and figure out what we can do about it. As a team, with all the teachers in the state kind of fighting on the same side, we can make sure that every kid in Oklahoma is getting the best educational opportunities possible. And I'm so excited to be able to work on that at a state level because, you know, all of our kids deserve the best. I think now more than ever, it's really difficult for teachers to connect with each other. And what I would love to do is, you know, encourage those professional learning communities come together as a state to share those resources and share the practices that are working, especially when we're teaching students in so many different ways. So I hope as State Teacher of the Year that I can connect more and more educators to each other to help build that support system and, you know, prevent the burnout that we're all kind of facing during a pandemic.
So Jessica will assume that full-time Teacher of the Year duties in July. I do want to give one specific thank you to Carlisha Williams-Bradley, who served as a judge for the Teacher of the Year. She knows what a tough job it is with 12 outstanding finalists, and we appreciate your service in this way. So thank you, Carlisha. Now, I want to also share some news and updates for you. So thanks to an anonymous donor, every public school in the state has received 4 K95 masks for every school teacher and staff member to help them with finishing the year. We know that PPE is still important, and we are appreciative of this. OSDE partnered with the Oklahoma Department of Emergency Management and Homeland Security with the school safety officer there and local emergency managers to distribute those masks. The donation included 400,000 K95 masks, 60,000 adult surgical masks, and 150,000 youth masks. We are thankful to this donor since masks remain an important tool in mitigating the spread. And we know so many are getting vaccinated, but we still have ways to go. And of course, our children are not able to be vaccinated just yet. Earlier this month, I was able to share some really great news. We allocated here in a decision at the State Department of Education, $49 million in federal relief dollars to 88 school districts that had received particularly limited funds under the second round of the Elementary and Secondary School Emergency Relief, or ESSER. So ESSER allocations, just for your benefit, to understand how that is allocated. These federal allocations are distributed based on Title I funds, which means districts with a smaller number of high poverty students received reduced funding. But we recognize, of course, that COVID-19 has posed many formidable challenges, no matter the number of Title I students a district has. So OSDE determined that any district that had received less than $550 per student in these federal funds would then be awarded a portion of that $49 million in additional funding. So without these additional funds, some districts indicated that they would have been forced to make some serious critical cuts to teachers, nurses, and school counselors. And of course, we know that the road ahead is really going to be one of the largest challenges in education in modern history, not just in Oklahoma, but all across the country. And these funds are going to go a long way in supporting our students. So finally, as we've done in these last few months, I'd like to end with a video highlighting exciting and innovative programs in Oklahoma public education. This month's video introduces us to Open SciEd, and that is a free curriculum resource that is getting students excited about science. OSDE has joined 9 other states in piloting Open SciEd for middle school science. So let's watch.
What is our question right now that we are trying to answer?
Open SciEd is just a whole different way of thinking.
Does the speed affect damage? So the faster it goes, does it make more damage?
And this really allows kids to be the knowers.
You need 9 sections because you're going to do 9 tests today. Accuracy, accurate answers, human error. We're always looking for that.
They're able to kind of lead these investigations. The beginning of our unit starts out with an anchoring phenomenon. And the anchoring phenomenon really drives us through the entire unit. This one happens to be cell phones breaking, and that's really relevant to these kids. And so they pose some questions, we do some observations, and we really investigate the questions that they have.
You're expected to talk a lot more in this class than any other class that I had.
Thumbs up, thumbs down, like we're good. Okay, you may go ahead and do your tests for your slow rolls and then add your crackers and start recording some data.
So on our driving question board, as we learn things, we check them off. Can we prove it with evidence?
It's more fun. It's not just talking about what you did in a book or something like that. You get to experience it hands-on.
Kids that may have discipline issues in other rooms don't have them in here typically.
Oh my goodness! We got graham crackers flying everywhere.
They tell me their brains hurt at the end of this class because they're like, you don't let us just sit here. You make us think.
Here we go, lesson 2. So we finished our anchoring phenomenon routine.
Training for Open SciEd is really exciting. It's teachers who are innovative and forward thinkers coming together.
Not just be given a curriculum and say, here, implement this. They actually get like in-depth training on it. They get to go through it. And then at the end of it, they get to give feedback on how to make it better.
The materials we build reflect the teacher's voice. We have teachers on every design team for these units, and every unit goes through not only the development and then the field testing, but then we take back all of the information that we've gotten from the field tests and try and revise it.
One of the things we're really excited about with Open SciEd is that it's a free and open curriculum resource. So it really provides districts all across the state an option that suits their budgets nicely.
I think science has become boring through textbooks, and Open SciEd brings it to life again. And so I hope that kids come in here excited to see what we're doing.
No breakage.
Ready to plan something new, and right now we're breaking stuff.
Okay, how about that? Everybody ready to go back to middle school and break some crackers and ask some tough questions and find the evidence? So I just want you to know, board members, that there will be a high school version of this piloted this next fall. So we are pretty excited about what this will mean, and will give us another good reason to go shoot some more video and see what kids have to say. All right, any comments or questions so far?
Thank you, Joy. I was going to say the same thing. I wish I could have done that in high school and would look forward to going and breaking a few things. That sounds fun. Trent, join me.
I love the hands-on approach to learning and know that that is so impactful for students. So it's great to see us rolling that out and to see the powerful impact that it's going to have on our kids.
Absolutely. All right. Well, let's dig in with the agenda. All right. So the next item is number 3, public comment. I am told we do not have anyone signed up or give notice for public comment. So we will just keep moving and let's look at item. Oh, excuse me.
Sorry, I think we may have missed one on 2B for the minutes from the last
month. Sure did. I think I did this last month as well. So this is, in full disclosure, my second state board meeting of the day. And I know that Mrs. Stella Hernandez and Mr. Brian Bovic were part of the Career Tech meeting as well. So I will try to retool and refocus here. Let's look at 2B. Is there a discussion of possible action on the minutes for February 25, 2021 special State Board of Education meeting?
I move we approve.
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Any other comments, questions? Okay, seeing none. Please call the roll, Ms. Cheadle.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan? Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right. Motion carries. Thank you very much for that. Now, no public comment. So let's move to item number 4, which is our consent docket. And board members, there's a host of things, A through F, for you to consider. And we'll entertain a motion, or you may have questions prior.
I just have a couple of questions, Ryan, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
On 4A on the abbreviated school day on Bethel, I know they talked about it being an online program. They didn't mention anything, but I assume it's true. Are students being provided equipment to make sure that they can participate in that?
Absolutely, Ms. Moniz. They would not be allowed to conduct an alternative education program and or education whatsoever without providing the devices as well as any internet services that the student may need. Ms. Moniz, I'm sorry, okay. You're on mute, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you. On 4B, and I just messed this up because I was trying to be fancy and hit my space bar to unmute myself and it didn't work. I just wanted to say under the co-op waiver that Goodwill Public Schools application was awesome, I thought, and just very thorough. They talked a lot about their use of the Edmentum platform this year and how they've been able to provide their students with a lot of courses that they haven't previously otherwise been able to get access to. So I just wanted to say thank you to Goodwill for having a really awesome application. And then on the teacher certification exemptions, I assume this is just a mistake, but one of the teachers, Taylor Morrison at Cash, did not have where she had her degree from. I just wanted to verify she does have a degree.
She does. Cameron University, I received that in the last 5 or 10 minutes here, where both her transcripts and a letter of certification of graduation.
Perfect. And then my only other question is on library media services for Central Public Schools. I know they said that they're going to use one paraprofessional for their library, but there's two sites. Do you have any insight into, they said both are going to be open all day. Are they using two paraprofessionals or is the one kind of going back and forth between them?
No, this is one of those that this is an emergency deregulation that we would have received at this point in time, regardless of COVID or anything else, where they had a librarian retire 12/31 of 2020. And so scrambling to get this done, and at least in the elementary is where the para will be. The high school counselor's office is directly across from their library media center. And so the counselor is helping to man that as on an as needed basis.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much. I don't have any other questions. I'll make a motion to approve the consent docket unless anyone else has anything.
I second.
All right. Thank you for that. Any other comments or questions? Okay, seeing none, Ms. Cheadle, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan? Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith?
Aye.
And Mr. Flanagan did say yes, even though he's muted.
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right, thank you. That motion carries. Item number 5, legal services, discussion of possible action on the adoption of the following proposed rule changes under chapter 15. Ms. Murphy.
Thank you. And I would note that I'm appearing as Brad Clark on his computer, but it is me, Lori Murphy, with your rules. So I did want to update you that this is your last regularly scheduled rule adoption for the legislative session. So congratulations on that. There may be a need for emergency action over the summer, but other than that, this should be bringing things into home for your rule actions for the year. Your first proposed change for today is an update to the information literacy guidelines. And I would note that this is placed in the Oklahoma Academic Standards subchapter of the rules, but is not considered subject matter standards. What these information literacy guidelines are the American Association of School Librarian standards, essentially for research skills and information use. And these rules originally were adopted in 2007 based on those AASL standards from 2007. So with those standards updated for 2017, we are aligning our code to also contain the updated standards as intended. So a quick summary of those for you. The foundational concepts for information literacy are inquiry, inclusion, collaboration, curating, exploration, and engagement. So different ways of looking at research and information. And each of those is broken down into competency domains: think, create, share, and grow. So those are guidelines for our educators and library media professionals to help students learn to use and research information. Any questions before we move on to instructional technology? Okay. Also, the instructional technology update is another set of guidelines that is not subject matter standards, but is located in that part of the code. And like the information literacy standards, these are being updated to align with the best practices and guidance, which has been updated by the International Society for Technology and Education. So with their update of their 2007 standards to align with current technology best practices, we are also updating to align with the new ISTE standards. So again, just a quick summary of what those standards entail. They are based on 7 competency areas: empowered learner, digital citizen, knowledge constructor, innovative designer, computational thinker, creative communicator, and global collaborator. And those, again, being based on instructional technology, are something that our schools and students are adapting more and more to in recent years, and especially with more distance learning over the pandemic. So any questions over that update of the new instructional technology standards? Okay, you have one further rule action to consider today. This is a required update based on a legislative change. the alternative placement teaching certificate rule is being aligned to include new content from Senate Bill 1115 from last year. So as you know, the alternative placement certification program is a way for individuals who hold a college degree but did not go to a traditional teacher training program to obtain teacher certification. And to do that through the alternative program, those individuals have to demonstrate competency and relevant experience, and they also have to complete the same certification exams as traditionally certified teachers. So there was a legislative change last year that creates a limited exemption to the subject area testing requirement for certain alternative certification candidates. So what that exemption is that an individual who holds an advanced degree in a subject area does not have to take the subject area exam, the subject area OSET, subject area test, for certification in that subject area. They would still have to take, it's my understanding, the OGET, the general Oklahoma general education test. And there are a few exceptions to that if you are being alternative certified in an area that requires an advanced degree to get that certification, you're not eligible for that waiver of the test. So that would only apply to school principals or superintendents, actual administrative positions, school counselors, those counseling professionals, and library media professionals. Other than that, say you majored in German, you would not necessarily, if you got a master's degree in that subject, you wouldn't have to take the OSAT in German to be able to be certified to teach that in high school. So any questions about how that works, the new exemption for alternative certification testing?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that, Ms. Murphy. Now, board members, is there, Ms. Murphy, let me ask, how do you want us to entertain a motion?
All in one is fine.
Okay, all in one, all right. Is there a motion to approve the
proposal? Motion to approve.
All right, thank you.
Second.
Superintendent, what's the motion by Ms. Hernandez?
To approve?
Yes. Is that correct? Okay.
That's correct.
Thank you.
All right, any other comments or questions? Okay, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobek?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister.
Aye. Thank you. That motion carries. Okay, next item. Item number B. I'm sorry. Hold on. I can't remember what one. Five. 5B is the discussion, presentation, and possible action on Ula Gatalala Public Schools. Mr. Clark, are you presenting this or? Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I believe we have several representatives from the school district on with us already. And so not to delay anything further, Mr. Sappington, I believe, is in the foreground there. I will defer to the district for their presentation.
Okay, thank you. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes, sir. Could you identify who from the district is here today?
Yes, so I'm Tony Sappington, Assistant Superintendent and also Title IX Coordinator, and Mr. Tice, our Board President. So, excuse me.
Welcomed.
Oh, thank you. Last time we met, there were five suggestions made to the district. And if I remember right, it was a combination of Robin Miller and also some board members that made those suggestions. And you should have a copy that just shows you everything that our district has done since July. And those five items or suggestions are in red. And I'll go through those. They were completed, and I feel that they were completed in a timely fashion and kind of following in line with what we've done since I became Title IX coordinator, we did all of those, and we did some more too on top of that. The first was to make sure to send proof of all trainings to Robin Miller. That was done on December 8th. And then the second was to name a Title IX deputy coordinator. I believe that was the suggestion from Robin Miller, and we did so. The third was to make sure that our board members were trained in Title IX. The fourth was to find a way to get feedback from our community. And then the fifth was to put in place a Title IX onboarding training for all new employees. And so we completed all five of those. You know, I'll highlight another thing that we did that I felt was good. And I kind of put this on our new deputy Title IX coordinator, and she did a great job. But she put a video out to all 6th through 12th grade students. And that was sent to all of them. Plus, it was put on our website just to let them know again who she is, who I am, our contact information, and then bring more awareness to what Title IX is and reporting options. And so that's where we are right now. I will answer any questions that you may have, and also, you know, any more suggestions that you have for us for the remaining of the school year. We look forward to hearing those.
Mr. Sappington, on the survey, I know you guys came prepared today to give us some of the positive and negative feedbacks. Could you give us a couple of each, please?
Sure. So, you know, I believe it was you that made that suggestion, and you made that suggestion, really, you were kind of pointing that to Mr. Tice. And so Mr. Tice and I have had conversations about how to best do that. And with COVID restrictions in our district, we didn't really feel comfortable bringing people into our auditorium face-to-face at that time. And so we sent a survey out. I chose some leaders in our community to send that to. And about half of those responded. I'll read you the questions. The first question was, do you feel that the school district has put into place the correct policies and procedures to communicate to all students and staff what the expectations are regarding Title IX? And 100% of the responses were yes. The second question is, do you feel that the school district is moving in the right direction regarding its recent Title IX efforts and actions? And again, all of the responses were yes. And then I had a third question, just opening it up to any comments or suggestions. And I only had three responses, but I'll read those to you. The first is, I believe that the school has gone above and beyond to make sure that they are in compliance regarding Title IX. I know that the safety and well-being of the students is their top priority and will continue to be so. No one has taken this lightly. I'm proud of our students, staff, and administrators. The second one is, continue to be transparent. Surprising the public with issues will be detrimental to the process. And then the third is, continue to implement and have safeguards in place for detecting past questionable behaviors for any new employee applying for a position in our school. And I can, after this call, if you'd like, I can send you a copy of this.
Very good, thank you. I might encourage you guys to consider doing this again in a few months to a wider audience in the community to kind of keep throwing that net out and include that in the next report, if that's okay, Tony.
Sure, yeah.
One of the questions I have, and I'll turn over to my colleagues, is if a situation, Mr. Tice, arises in the district again, if some sort of unfortunate situation like the past, what process is going to happen? How are you going to handle that? Just kind of revisit that for us, sir.
Well, I think the first thing to do is to immediately contact all the individuals from your position on throughout the state. We would gather all information, do the appropriate investigations, and then take whatever action is required and needed in an immediate fashion.
Okay. That's all I had in case someone else had any questions for him.
Any other comment or questions?
I don't have a question. I want to thank you for the work that you've put into what you've done so far. I know that, you know, this the reason that we did this is this is a very serious issue. And so appreciate that you're moving in the right direction toward, you know, getting where the school district needs to be on this issue. So thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate that. And I want to commend Mr. Sappington for all the efforts that he's put into making sure that we are doing what is required and what is expected.
All right, very good. Now, board members, we will, if there's not anything more.
Now, I have one question. Okay. At what point do we take this probation and really terminate it? Or do we have a termination date anticipated? At some point, it loses its effectiveness, and so at what point do we say you done what you needed to do, and now let's turn to normal dealings with the superintendent and the school and the state of Oklahoma?
Sure, Ms. Flanagan, I'm happy to try to answer that question. The easy answer, the short answer, is it's in the board's discretion as to when that probationary status would change in any direction. That's completely in the board's discretion. I think a natural line would be at the conclusion of this current school year or the fiscal year. But again, that is up to the board.
At what point do we feel that we what we were trying to accomplish has been done, and therefore there's nothing really undone in order to continue the process? Are we there as far as you're concerned?
Well, I'll answer for my sake, Bill, that first of all, I think with the new superintendent coming in, that makes sense, that to me is a good timing. And also gives a chance to make sure that there's not been anything else under the surface, if I can be so candid, that's going to come out. And giving it time, I think, is on our side in the transition with the new superintendent. I believe he's coming in July 1 was what my original intent was. So that's okay. What I would say to your question, sir.
Thanks.
I do have a question in regards to the superintendent coming or beginning July 1. I know one of the requirements is for superintendents to attend a state board meeting. I would definitely like for him to be at the most, I guess, the earliest, instead of putting it off, but really coming before the board so that we're able to meet him or her. And really have this kind of conversation as far as everything that's happened, and just quite frankly, moving forward, that confidence that this body is also going to be with the new superintendent moving forward.
Tony, he is taking over July 1. Did I have that correct or no?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Very good. Well, we look forward to getting to see him. And very good. I appreciate the board members' comments, and thank you very much, Mr. Sappington, and then just the work that the board has done to address this and take it seriously.
Thank you.
All right, now, board members, I'll ask Mr. Clark what our next, if we are ready to move to the next section.
I believe we are, Superintendent, and there's a series of executive sessions that are proposed. At this time, I would recommend and request that we convene an executive session for those purposes.
All right, is there a motion to move into executive session?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second. Ms. Cheadle, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right, thank you. We will move into executive session, and board members, I believe there are instructions for you to move into that session. I'll see you there. Thank you.
Hello?
Yeah, no. I'm not sure what's going on here.
One sec. I'm trying to get everyone back.
Anybody have the Jeopardy theme song?
Now we've got everybody, I believe.
Looks like it.
Jeremy, I'll ask you to let us know when we are able.
All is ready.
Yay. Thanks, Jeremy.
All right, board members, we are on... Is there a motion to come out of executive session?
I move.
Second.
Okay, there's a motion and a second. Let the record reflect that there were not votes taken during executive session. And I would look at item, excuse me, just one moment, number.
Superintendent, can we call the roll?
Oh, yes, thank you.
Ms. Hernandez?
Here.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Here.
Mr. Flanagan?
Yes.
Mr. Bobeck?
Yes.
Ms. Moniz?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Here. And do we make the motion?
We are making a motion to come out of executive session right now, and we're voting.
The other stuff comes after this. Okay, yeah, sorry, here.
And Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Here. All right. So now we are moving out from executive session into regular session. And at this time, I'll ask if there is a motion related to 5C, which is the suspension of teaching certificates for Lester Young and Roland Butler.
So moved.
Second.
All right. That was a motion and a second. Any discussion? Please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right, that motion carries. Is there another motion at this time?
Yes, I'd like to make a motion regarding item 5G as in golf. And my motion is to adopt a board resolution to equalize funding between all public schools and charter schools and to settle, thereby settling the lawsuit with the Oklahoma Public Charter School Association.
Second.
All right, there is a motion and a second. And before we have a vote, it is open for discussion or questions. And I would like to say at this point that based on legal advice, this violates Oklahoma statute, Oklahoma Constitution, and the oath that I swore to uphold when I took office. And I do not support this, nor do I think the board should vote to approve this settlement, which came in yesterday. Is there any other questions or comments? All right, seeing none, please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
No.
Mr. Flanagan?
No.
Mr. Bobek?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
No. All right, that motion carries. Is there another motion?
Yes, I would like to make a motion on item 5F. That is very long, so I'm gonna read it. I would like to make a motion that the State Board of Education hereby expresses the utmost concern of the operations, decisions, and outcomes in Western Heights Public Schools, including but not limited to the following: failure to provide in-person instructional services to students since March 2020, determination in the spring of 2020 to not provide nutritional services to students, audit report reflecting violations of state law, including the use of 2018 bond proceeds voted by the taxpayers for the purposes of constructing and repairing facilities to repay debt from 2009 and 2013, board member consuming alcohol during a public meeting. The majority of school sites are federally designated as in need of increased student support and school improvement. A significant student enrollment, a significant loss of student enrollment from 3,365 students to 2,597 students in the last year, a loss of more than 100 school personnel in the last 2 years, and disharmony in the school environment and community. As such, the State Board finds and orders and determines the Western Heights Public Schools Administration be put on notice that it shall appear at a special meeting of the State Board of Education on April 9th, 2021, whereby it may be subject to action on its accreditation status, including but not limited to a warning, probation, or non-accreditation. The State Department of Education shall conduct a compliance and performance review of the school's of the school district's operations, performance, and outcomes. And the district is strongly encouraged to offer in-person instructional delivery option for families on or before April 1st, 2021.
Is there a second?
Second.
All right, then is there any question or comment?
I have a comment. I would request, if at all possible, for Ms. Moniz to be able to amend her motion to everything I agree with of what you just read, including all of those complaints that have been done by parents and other administrators. However, at this point, when we were sworn in as board members, we were given a law book to be able to abide by, but also to uphold the Constitution. And according to that law book, when there is a concern of accreditation or the possible compliance of a school that may lose that accreditation, there has to be an investigation of those complaints first, and then that be presented to the board. And if anyone wants to look that up, that's on section 35. So I agree that we need to go ahead and come to an agreement on this, but until SDE actually goes about it the right way in doing a full investigation, because you have not given that school district the ability to come before us to be able to bring evidence against or for, we haven't done our due diligence either. So if we can keep everything in that motion, but just putting a period and asking them to come on April 9th, 2021.
And I'll just say, I definitely respect that, Estella. I'm going to press the motion knowing that it says may, that their accreditation may, and I want to emphasize we have a long list of things that we find very troubling that are happening in that school district. We want to hear from them. And so that is definitely what we are asking for here today. And want to emphasize in the motion that all it is saying is that we may consider their accreditation at the special meeting where they appear April 9th. So I'll press the motion as is.
All right, thank you. Please call the roll. You're on mute.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. All right, that motion carries. Is there another motion for the board to consider on any of the other items that we discussed in executive session?
I will move to
I'm reviewing my notes. Is there anything else?
I'll make a motion to adjourn if there isn't anything else.
Second.
Yeah.
All right. There's a motion and a second to adjourn. Please call the roll.
Ms. Hernandez?
Aye.
Ms. Williams-Bradley?
Aye.
Mr. Flanagan?
Aye.
Mr. Bobeck?
Aye.
Ms. Moniz?
Aye.
Mr. Smith?
Aye.
Superintendent Hoffmeister?
Aye. And with that, we are adjourned.
See you guys.
Thank you. Bye.